Weekend Breakfast with Refilo Mpakanyane on 702.
It is a personal finance Sunday, and we talked to certified financial planner Paul Rulofser this morning, as we do every Sunday, and taking a look at the fact that pink tax is alive and well. You ask what pink tax is? Well, a phenomenon often attributed as a form of gender-based price discrimination, right? The classic example is simple single-blade razors or shavers, one in blue, one in pink. The blue one sold to men, the pink one sold to women, and for some inexplicable reason, the women's one is 6 rand, 8 rand, 10 rand more expensive. But they do the same job. It took the same amount of money to produce them, and the women's packaging is no different. But helping us talk more about that is Paul Rulofser, of course. And I guess what we're really trying to drill down into, Paul. Good morning, by the way.
Hi, Rufira.
It always helps to greet Paul. Hi. What we're really trying to drill down to, I guess, is the implications of pink tax, and not just stop short at the idea that there are price disparities in the products that we buy. But, you know, your understanding of pink tax and how you might see it how you might see it affecting your clients, your female clients.
Well, it's certainly there. I must say it's not that obvious, but you've got to find it and look for it and then make your observations clearer. But I do think that being aware of it points to certain questions. You know, how do we as consumers allow it for a start? Where, as you said earlier on in the introduction, it's so obvious that razor blades that sit on the shelf next to each other are the same product, the same manufacturer, but just because it's packaged one for women and one for men, how come you can justify a 25 rand difference in pricing? And so it's obviously there that the questions start looming. One point that could be there is that women have more price elasticity. It's an economic theory about price elasticity on demand. And the theory there is that as demand, as price moves upwards, mm-hmm. so does the elasticity of the price of the demand move backwards. So some consumers are more elastic. You know, they tend to stretch themselves and accept that price to a point more than others do. However, I'm not too sure if that applies. I think it's just a question of women are prepared to pay the price. Obviously, that's how come, you know, the products are still on the market. But the other side, too, is it part of a marketing tactic where women are falling prey to, you know, some clever marketing strategies whereby, you know, the packaging looks just a little bit different and a little bit more enticing, mm-hmm. and we get enticed by that. Those are questions to which I think we've got to find some answers. The other side of it too, and it actually came from some reading I did on an international basis, was actually the States. It's around, and I think we should say it's not just a South African phenomenon.
Sure.
It's all over the world. But there are some conspiracy theories that governments are involved in this because, you know, where you've got populations that are more female than male, you know, it's an extra form of revenue somewhere. So let's not make too much of a problem around it. You know, let it ride, so to speak. But I'm not quite convinced about that. I think the real reasons lie within us, and women in particular. In some way, we've got to make an awareness of it, and somehow we've got to start platforms, you know, to create some resistance to it, perhaps, and bring some retailers onto them to ask them the questions: how come it is? You know, it's not just that. We found some T-shirts in that survey that we looked at this week, referring, and Use Your Voice is an organisation in South Africa. They can pick some daily prices. Razor blades were 25 rand different. T-shirts sitting aside to each other, just because the label was different, they were the exact same brand, same T-shirt. There was a 20 rand difference there. And the vitamins that they found to have a discrepancy, as well as deodorants. And same manufacturer, same tin, just different color. One was woman, one was men. So how do you get a 10 rand difference out of that? So I think those are questions to make people aware of. But how we go about, you know, changing the, you know, the outcome is going to be a challenge, I think.
Yeah. So whilst
it's alive and well.
Yeah. So whilst we work on how to change that, I think Paul, more a key to me more than anything else, and there's a bit of a conversational thread that started in my conversation with Karabo Kholeng yesterday when we were taking a look at a financial fitness book that she was reviewing, actually, was the price that, or the, you know, you talked about the price elasticity for that for women, right? And you played around with that idea, but essentially the idea that women feel either obliged to or compelled to spend so much on things, so much more on things like hair and clothes and beauty. And beauty is a whole big, trap on its own, that your money and your finances don't go as far as your male companion or colleague might, because he's not spending on those fake eyelashes or those eyelash implants. He's not spending money on getting eyebrows wax tweezed and hennaed every month. You're not spending money every month getting those acrylic tips, etc., etc. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a laundry list of things that women do before they even leave the house to go to work, and a man possibly showers, irons a shirt, puts it on and steps out the door. So how do you begin to sort of inform your female clients that being more intentional about where you put your money, what you spend your money on, and effectively, you know, social sort of norms that you think you're expected to do, you don't actually have to buy into?
Well, I think that sums it up in a nutshell. The personal products women use more personal products in terms of their lifestyles than men do, and I think that speaks to the obvious. But it's that awareness. It's a point that if it's a budget issue whereby you can't really keep up with it. That's one point. But I would turn around and say, well, if I am prepared and I need to purchase more of those personal care products, it means that I've got to compromise on something else. And you can't have, you know, the best of both worlds. So if you have a limited budget, there'd be nothing wrong with it if you had everything else in place and I was now spoiling myself and having these needs met. It's all about measuring what I can afford to have. And look, it's a known fact, and I don't want to decry women from having hairdos and all the other things that make them look glamorous.
Sure.
And please them. But the reality is that it costs you a lot more than perhaps your male counterpart. And it's got to come from a source of income, and you still will have to sit down and make sure that you're on top of the spend of that. Maybe it gets down to points where I don't buy the super top range of those things. I buy the middle range and I'm satisfied with that. But I don't think you can start telling a woman, you know, in personal finance, no more eyelashes and no more nails and things. I think there's a reality check there that those are necessities for a lot of females, and they have to be accounted for in the budget. But again, it always comes back to measuring things so that you can make sure you don't overextend on one. You may have to compromise on other things, maybe less lunches and more hairdos, or, you know, somewhere in the budget you've got to get plugged in some more have-tos and less must-haves kind of thing.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's always a measurement. And, again, I'm not going to be the one that's going to stand out and say, no more hairdos. I think I wouldn't get very far, put it that way, especially in my social circle.
Sure thing.
But if you can measure it, you can manage it. I mean, that's always going to be the case. But it's an awareness story. And I must say, as we dug into it, I wasn't quite that aware of pink tax. In fact, I had to go back and say, well, what is it actually? And is it there? But it's alive and well. It's definitely a phenomenon in our societies. And I think we've got to create that awareness. The actual cost of it would need to be accounted for inside your budget, but also perhaps a challenge to the retailers to say, well, how come those things are that much more much more different in price?
Sure.
And that would be an interesting conversation which I'd like to get involved in.
All right, fantastic. Well, let's see if we can have that conversation further down the road and speak to the relevant, to the key people who can actually move the needle. Paul Rilofsa, a pleasure as always. We'll touch base next week, Sunday. That's our certified financial planner talking pink tax, alive and well.